Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks again for this evening and for our time here in the middle of the week that we can take out and be in your house and Lord, to reflect on our sinfulness and Lord, to praise and thank you for the forgiveness that we have in your Son. We ask now as we begin this Lenten journey, as we follow you once again to the cross, that we are reminded of who we are, that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. But Lord, you give us new life in your Son. We ask now that you would block out a few of the distractions that we might have in our minds so that we can simply focus on you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin our Lenten journey, our series this year is going to be, as you saw on the front cover, Mystery of the Father's Love. And if we really think about this, I was trying to think about this even from our human perspective. I thought to myself, you know, I bet you nearly every parent in here would say, okay, I'll give up my life for any of my children. But then I thought, how many of us would give up one of our children for even, you know, ourselves or for someone else? And that's really the mystery of God's love, because that's exactly what he does. He gives up his own Son. He sends his own Son into the world for one chief purpose, and that is to go to the cross and die for all of humanity. And so as we go through this series during Lent, we're going to focus certainly on the cross and on Jesus, what he's done for us, but we're also going to look at it in conjunction with the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of the Old Testament prophets that had the task of going to the Israelite people, specifically the people in the southern kingdom of Judah, to proclaim to them repentance, to show them their error, their wickedness, their falling away from Yahweh. And so his job was to tell them, and as the people disliked him, and as the people thought, man, this is a bad guy, he really had great news for them. And what's interesting about Jeremiah, I did just a little bit of reading on Jeremiah. What's interesting about this book is that Jeremiah, even though the people really kind of despised him and hated him, he had an unfailing love for them. Even to the point that he prayed for them, interceded for them when the Lord told him not to. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16, this is words from the Lord. So do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea of petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen to you. And then in Jeremiah chapter 14, the Lord says this. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for the well-being of this people. Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them with the sword, famine, and plague. But Jeremiah's response is, he intercedes for them. In Jeremiah 14, verse 7, although our sins testify against us, O Lord, do something for the sake of your name. For our backsliding is great, we have sinned against you. And then in 20 and 21 of that same chapter, 14, he says, O Lord, we acknowledge our wickedness and the guilt of our fathers. We have indeed sinned against you. For the sake of your name, do not despise us. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember your covenant with us and do not break it. And so here Jeremiah is being told by the Lord, do not intercede for these people, but his compassion, his love compels him to intercede for them. He wants them to turn from their evilness. He wants them to come back to the Lord. We see it in our Jeremiah passage for this evening that was read. Jeremiah chapter 29, a very famous verse in there, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. That passage is in a letter that Jeremiah sends to the people of Israel that are in exile in Babylon. And he sends this letter to them, giving them hope that they are going to be restored back to their original land. And so in the midst of Jeremiah proclaiming what some would think are harsh, horrible words, it's actually wonderful news for these people. It's a proclamation of hope in the grace that God has for them. And so as we go through this Lenten journey with Jeremiah, we're going to look at, yes, certainly what Jesus did for us on the cross, but also in comparison with Jeremiah, and I'm going to say even ourselves. Now, I want to get one thing clear. I'm not saying that Jeremiah was Jesus. Okay? We understand that? I'm not saying that, because he was far from that. And I'm not saying that we're Jesus, that you are Jesus or I'm Jesus. And if you don't believe that, ask probably the person you're sitting next to. And they'll tell you that you're not, okay? But what I hope we can glean from this series is a little bit of some of the things that Jesus endured in this life as he became human flesh, and as he walked on this earth, and as he went to the cross. We, as Christians who are a new creation in Christ, endure some of those same things. Now, I'm not comparing us to him in the sense that we are like him, that we have exactly to offer what he has to offer. But as a changed person, when our identity becomes in Christ, we are different. You know, here, I guess it was if it was two or three Sundays ago, we talked about our identity and how the world around us places a totally different perspective on who we are as human beings than what we get in the spiritual world of Christianity. We talked about how, you know, some of the things that determine who we are or what we have, our possessions, consumerism, all of the things that, you know, the more you accumulate is based on people base who you are on what you accumulate. We talked about looks, Hollywood, how, you know, there's a big emphasis placed on who you are on how you look, if you're the right size, if you're pretty enough, if you're handsome enough. And then athletics or sports, if you're, for some reason, if you're athletic, you get placed on a little bit higher pedestal than if you're kind of clumsy, right? And so our identity from the worldly perspective comes from those things, but our identity really needs to be based where? In Christ. The cross. An interesting quote that Luther once said, he said that we see deepest into God when we see Jesus on the cross. I'm going to repeat that and let you think about that for a minute. We see deepest into God when we see Jesus on the cross. And I think that that's what this series is going to be about. Because our identity is no longer in us. It's in the cross. And when we see God deepest into God, when we see Jesus on the cross, we see his, that mysterious love that he has for us that we don't understand, because he was willing to give his son to die for us, to forgive us of our sins and to promise us eternal life. As we go through this series as well, we're going to be looking at, I've tried to come up with the word to say for this, but kind of different aspects of the cross in Jesus' life. How, for instance, as a new creation, when Jesus tells the disciples, if you want to come after me, you must take up your cross and follow me, which in a sense is saying, as a Christian, if you're going to follow me, you're going to endure some hardships. You're going to endure some of the same persecutions that I endured. The only difference is Jesus did it perfectly, and we can't. We just can't live up to that. But that's the beauty of the cross. We know that when we mess up, we know that when we're not able to follow Jesus with our whole heart, we know that when we can't live up to the standard that even we want for ourselves, that God forgives us in Jesus. And so I pray that as we go through this Lenten series, that we are drawn to Christ, that we are attuned to Him, and that we can really focus our time on the cross and who we really are is a sinful human being, but a sinful human being saved by God. And I pray that as we continue to live our lives in this world, that God gives us the strength to understand that and know that, and also the ability to proclaim like Jeremiah did, those wonderful words of promise to people who are hurting, who are in need of knowing our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.